Okay, good evening, everyone. I really want to begin by thanking our very gracious hosts, to thank Shushi and Yona Ehrenfeld for opening up their home for this important gathering this evening. Baruch Hashem, this is a home that is really open to our entire community. I think most of you know the combination, in fact, to the front door. But really, it's a home where there's so much Torah, and there's so much Achtos, and there's so much Simcha, and it's a great schos. Thank you, Aaron Feltz, for opening up your homes to us. And Amir Hashem, you should be blessed to make many more beautiful and important gatherings like this one in the years to come. A special thank you to Leah Berry. I'm sure everyone knows Leah, plays an incredible and pivotal role in APAC, and has really, for our shul, been our point of contact, and really, I think, is exceptionally responsible for the growth of the influence and impact of APAC in our shul, in our kehillah. So Leah, for everything that you do, thank you so much. To thank our executive director, Julia Shainman, for putting together the beautiful advertising and for everything she does for our shul and for our community. And of course, a welcome to all of you. So I understand that I'm supposed to speak a little bit about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, State of Israel, Medinas Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael, whatever. I feel good because in our shul, by Shalashudis, even Rabbi Berman, Rabbi Dr. Berman, who has a strong, tough Havara, was already speaking with a Saf by the end of Shabbos. So I felt it was like an accomplishment for us. So I'll share with you a little something. Just really, I'm not going to give a long show. I'm just going to share with you a few words. I had the great privilege to spend 48 hours in Eretz Yisrael last week. It's supposed to be a little bit longer, but a confluence of events. But you could accomplish a lot in 48 hours in Eretz Yisrael. And every time I go to Israel, I like to do something different that I've never done before. So this time I had the opportunity, really in the span of 2.5 hours, to do two new things. The first place I had the opportunity to visit is a place called Nachal Prat, or Wadi Kelt. So Nachal Prat, Wadi Kelt is you could access it a couple of different ways, but if you go through the Moshav of Anatot, right outside, if you leave Yerushalayim through Pisgat Ze'ev, right over the green line, there's a community of Anatot, and you could access there, it's a nature reserve called Ein Prat. So I've been to Ein Prat many, many times. Whenever we go to Eretz Yisrael, I always take my children there, because there are beautiful pools of water, beautiful hikes, beautiful trails, just the magnificent beauty of Eretz Yisrael. But this time I had the opportunity to take a hike on a little bit more of a remote part of Ein Prat. And when I say hike, I mean I walked through water. That was like the extent, not on, right? But walked through water, that was the extent of the hiking. Not on. It was the extent of the hiking experience. But I realized something absolutely amazing. You know, the Navi in Yirmiyahu, in Jeremiah, in the beginning of the 13th chapter, says as follows. Ko amar Hashem Eli. So this is the Navi Yirmiyahu speaking. This is what Hashem said to me. Haloch v'kanisi l'cha ezor pishtim v'samta al masanech u'b'mayim lo tivi'ehu. So God commands Yirmiyahu HaNavi to go ahead and purchase for himself a belt. A belt made out of pishtim, a belt made out of linen or flax. So Yirmiyahu says, "Veknasa ezor kidvar Hashem." I did what God told me to do, and I bought the belt. God appears to Yirmiyahu HaNavi again, and he says, "Kach es ha'ezor asher kanisa al masnecha." Take the belt that you purchased, that you're now wearing on your waist. "Vikum lech perasa," and go to Peras. Perasa. So the Metzudas David and many others identify that Parasa means Nahar Prat, the Euphrates. But many of the other commentaries explain that that can't be, because the Euphrates would have been many days' journey for Yirmiyahu HaNavi. So where was Parata? Where was that? So many of the commentaries explain Nahal Prat. Wadi Kelt. This Nahal Prat. That's where Yirmiyahu HaNavi goes. God tells him, take the belt to Nahal Prat. And what should you do when you're in Nachal Prat? And he tells Jeremiah, he tells Yirmiyahu, take your belt, and I want you to bury it underneath the stone by Nachal Prat. And the story goes on. Yirmiyahu buries it. He forgets about it. God says, by the way, I want you to go back and retrieve the belt that you buried. Yirmiyahu HaNavi goes back. He digs up the belt, or the place where he buried the belt, and the belt was no longer. The belt was gone. It had disintegrated. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the same way that the belt has disintegrated, Jewish life in the land of Israel will disintegrate as well. The same way that the belt is no longer, Am Yisrael unfortunately will disappear amongst the nations as well. And I was so taken, because again, this episode literally occurred in the very steps that I was walking in. A beautiful day, and it happened to be an unusually warm day in Eretz Yisrael. It was magnificently beautiful. Walking in the water, walking on the stones, literally in the very place where thousands of years earlier, the Navi Yirmiyahu was walking. Thousands of years earlier, he buried the belt. Thousands of years earlier, he went ahead and the belt disintegrated. And thousands of years earlier, it was the metaphor for the disintegration of the nationhood of Am Yisrael. That was part one. A few minutes drive from there, I had another first, which was the opportunity to go up on Har Azazel. So Har Azazel is a mountain, a very tall mountain. We actually took a jeep to the top of the mountain. It's not for the faint of heart or for the queasy. It's mamish, like you have to bench gomo every couple of minutes. Literally straight up a mountain, straight up a mountain. I found one of the greatest modern day miracles was the fact that this jeep did not get flat tires. It was incredible. Literally driving over stone. We go up to the top of this mountain, and just so you understand where this mountain is, you could see the Dead Sea on one side, and you could literally see again the Mediterranean from the other side, Yerushalayim. You could see all of Eretz Yisrael. It was a perfectly beautiful, clear day. What's unique about Har Azazel? What you think about Har Azazel is that was the place on Yom Kippur. That was the mountaintop on Yom Kippur where the Ish Iti, the man identified, the messenger of the Jewish people, would take the goat to the top of the mountain and he would push it off the top of the mountain. We literally stood by the ledge there of the mountain, looking at the very spot that this man year in and year out would push the goat off the cliff to achieve atonement for Klal Yisrael. And I stood there, and I was so overwhelmed by the enormity of this place, by the enormity of this moment, that I felt compelled to say vidui. Just ashamnu, bagadnu. How can you not say vidui? How can you not confess your sins in the very place that Am Yisrael was granted absolution and forgiveness, year in and year out? And then it struck me how dynamic and diverse these two experiences were. An hour earlier, I was literally, you know, in a wadi. A wadi, what's the valley. I had a valley. I literally was in a valley. I was in the lowest, one of the lowest parts. If you ever drive down to Ein Prat, you know how in Israel they have these roads that you think to yourself, in America, they would never allow people to drive on a road like this, right? It's two lanes, but there's no way two cars could fit. There's no guardrail, even though you're on the side of the mountain. There's no, like, lines that demarcate lanes. And the whole time you're just hoping to yourself, I just hope there's no oncoming traffic, because literally someone's going over the side. And so that's how you get down to Wadi Kelt. You drive, and you drive, and you drive, and you drive. And I thought to myself, here I am. I was just on the bottom of the valley. The bottom. That's where Yirmiyahu buried the belt. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people are going to disintegrate. And literally less than an hour later, I'm on one of the highest points in Eretz Yisrael, looking all around the land, at the very spot where the Jewish people were granted forgiveness year in and year out. Those very people who disintegrated in the valley below were granted forgiveness and absolution on top of the mountain. Two dramatically, diametrically opposite experiences, experienced literally within the course of 2 hours. And I realized in that moment that this wasn't just my personal experience, but is this not the experience of our people? Is this not the experience of Am Yisrael? In one moment, we look like we're disintegrating, non-existent, disappearing into the sands of time. And the next moment we achieve absolution, regeneration, a renaissance, and a new beginning. That's Am Yisrael. That's the Jewish people. That's Eretz Yisrael. You go from Wadi Kelt, you go from Nachal Prat to the top of Har Azazel. You go from disintegration to renaissance and absolution in a matter of just a few moments. This is always the story of our people. But no time has this narrative been so pronounced than over since the founding of the State of Israel. We are less than 80 years out of the worst catastrophe that has ever befallen our people. Less than 80 years out, the ashes of the Holocaust are still smoldering. It would have been an event that would have destroyed and decimated any nation. And although nothing could ever make up for the loss of the 6 million Kedoshim, here we stand less than a century from that horrific event. And not only have we rebounded as a people, think about this in just a moment. The fact that we're having this gathering here tonight is something so dramatic. The fact that we're thinking about Israel advocacy is something so dramatic. But we have a beautiful, thriving state of Israel. Sometimes we get so caught up in the politics, right? The question we often ask is, who's getting indicted today, right? That's always the question, right? Who's getting investigated? Who's corrupt? You have to ask maybe who's not corrupt. That might be a shorter list. Hey, and sometimes everything that we see that happens on the political scene sometimes tarnishes our view of the great miracle. My children know that when we come to Israel, all I need is to walk into the airport and see the oversized mezuzah right before border patrol, border control. And the truth is, I'm a happy man. I could get right back on the plane and go home and feel accomplished. Because, I'm sorry, I almost did. I actually was this close. I had a couple of extra hours. Because no other time could last 2,000 years. There has never been an oversized mezuzah at the entryway of any country, let alone our ancestral homeland. The State of Israel is highly imperfect, and the State of Israel faces many incredible challenges. Human nature is sometimes that we define things by what's broken. We define things by what's wrong, instead of by what's beautiful, what's magnificent, and what's perfect. And you could get on a plane, and you could go back home, and you could kiss the oversized mezuzah, and you could say good morning to a grumpy border control person, but it's okay, because they're your brother and they're your sister. And you could go into the airport, and maybe the workers will be on strike, maybe they won't. But you know what? If they're there, they're your brothers and sisters. And you can get assaulted by taxi cab drivers, everyone who wants to do the incredible chesed of driving you to Yerushalayim for a mere 300 shekel, but they're your brothers and your sisters. And you can get a cup of coffee, and you don't have to check the kashrus. You can get the coffee without the kashrus, I promise you. Right? And you could walk to the Kotel. And yes, it's true. It's hard to daven for 3 minutes without being asked by a million people for tzedakah. But what a privilege. What a privilege to have your davening interrupted by other Jews in need. What a privilege to be davening to your God in the home of your people, helping your brothers and sisters at the same time. These are the times we live in. You can go from Wadi Kel to Har HaZazel. You could go from disintegrating to incredible rejuvenation all in the matter of 2 hours, or for us, in the matter of less than a century. This is the incredible miracle we have. And I think sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we forget what it means to go ahead and have such a beautiful and magnificent homeland. And even if our intention is not to move there tomorrow, because it's difficult to live there, it's filled with its challenges. Rabbi Richter could speak to this more than I can, that's for sure. So it's not an all or nothing. It's not, well, if I love Israel, I live there. A lot of us can't live in it, or don't live in it, not can, don't live in Israel for a variety of different reasons. But if we can't put our bodies there, our souls have to be there. Like Rabbi Nachman said, L'chol makom shani holich, ani holich l'eretz Yisrael. Wherever I go, I'm always going to Israel. Wherever I go, my body is going in different directions. My soul is always headed to Eretz Yisrael. There's only one direction we travel in, and it's east, and it's Mizrach, and it's to our beloved land. This is the times we live in. But if God gives us a great gift, it comes with awesome responsibility. And I will tell you, confession, I am relatively new to the world of Israel advocacy. I have to thank Yehuda, because Yehuda is really the one who started in getting me to go to policy conference. And I will tell you that it opens your eyes to a dramatically different world. it opens your eyes, first of all, again, to the incredible work that so many do to lobby our government here to be able to help the state of Israel. Because although we are in the diaspora, we are privileged to live in this great country. It happens to be the superpower of the world, which happens to also be the greatest ally of the state of Israel. A country which moved its embassy, recognizing Yerushalayim as the key eternal capital of the Jewish people of Eretz Yisrael. We are privileged to be citizens of this country. But we have to roll up our sleeves and do what we can to advocate on both ends. We are proud Americans, and we should be proud citizens of this country. But we are also proud Jews. And even if we're not card-carrying citizens of the state of Israel, we are soul-carrying citizens of the state of Israel. And it behooves us to do our part to help. And there are many ways. Yehuda is going to speak more, I'm sure, to the ways that you could help. But I'll tell you, as a relative APAC novice, there are many ways you could help. Coming to policy conference is an incredibly important thing. And I will tell you something else. Even if you just show up for a couple of hours, but you're there, you'll be wowed. Because I tell you, see, a lot of us still live, I like to say, kind of like in our diaspora mentality, which is the world is against us. Everyone hates us, which on some days is absolutely true. But when you go to policy conference and you see thousands of people who are not Jewish, right, who support the state of Israel, it's incredible. It's absolutely overwhelmingly incredible. And when you go to the lobbying sessions and you see that we have the ears, the eyes and the ears of our elected officials, it's absolutely incredible. You have the opportunity to be part of something historic. Not everyone could devote 3 days. It's okay. You don't have to come for all 3 days. I mean, I think you have to pay for all 3 days, right? But you could come to part of it. You come to part of it. And if policy conference is not your thing for a variety of different reasons, cost is an issue and timing is an issue, there are other ways to get involved. You could speak to Leah. You could speak to Yehuda. There's no shortage to the ways you can get involved in Israel advocacy. We're going to have a beautiful, there's always a Shabbaton, Emir Tzashem, before the conference. I have the great privilege, Emir Tzashem, this year to participate in that Shabbaton. And Emir Tzashem, going, Leah, did I RSVP to you? Okay, good. Fantastic, good. So, and we're going to have a beautiful delegation from Baltimore for that Shabbaton, an opportunity which we're hopefully going to, we're going to bring in some serious ruchnius, Emir Tzashem, you know, to this, to what's already an incredible, incredible gathering. But again, policy conference is one little piece. There are so many other ways you could get involved. But it's important for us to get involved. Don't just be a bystander as this incredible modern-day miracle of the state of Israel unfolds. Get involved. Do your piece. And I want to say one last thing. Contributing money is not enough. Writing checks is not enough. It's a good start, right? Our voices have to be heard. Our elected officials have to know that as important as the issues in the city and in the county are also the issues which occur 6,000 miles away. They have to know that it's an agenda item for us. Because if it's an agenda item for us, then it becomes an agenda item for them. We have the great miracle that you too, in the course of 2 hours, could go to Nachal Prat and Har HaZazel. I'm happy to give you all the information. In 2 hours, you could go from the lowest to the highest. In 2 hours, you could see the place where our people began to disintegrate and the place where our people yearly began to rejuvenate. That rejuvenation is only beginning to unfold. There are still many, many, many steps to the full actualization of our land and of our people. But how privileged we are to have a front row seat for all of it. May we be Zoche Emir Tzashem to see the continuation of the Ribono Shel Olam's incredible miracle, and may we have the privilege to do our part in advancing it. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you very much, Professor, for those very stirring words. Thank you also to Aaron Feld for hosting. So as some of you may know, I have the privilege of serving on the APAC Board of Directors, and there's much that I can say. I will try to mostly be here to answer questions people have, but I'll choose to speak just a couple of minutes about the importance of a policy conference.